God, we thank you this morning. And for many of us, the Christmas season is not an easy season. For those of us here this morning, as we look towards more holiday things that we have to participate in, God, I ask that you would comfort them in this time. For some of us, this is a weak spot, a weak time. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower those who are weak right now with your strength. And for some of us, this is a stressful time. And I ask that you would give us your peace. And for some of us, this is a time where it's just another thing that we do. God, I ask that you would spark something within them. Life, vision, hope. Hope for the future. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this cold morning before it gets extremely hot. We love you so much. And you know what? For some of us, we have friends and family who are affected by the fires that are happening around us. Be with them. Protect them. Protect their house if it's possible. Can't imagine losing your home just before Christmas. That thought, that's horrible. So God, I ask that you would comfort them. You'd be with them. Give us wisdom and insight as friends and family to help walk alongside them through this season. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you in your name. We all said? Amen. All right. Well, good morning. How are we doing? Okay. The weather is all right with your sinuses and things? Everything is? No. It's not good, is it? No. What is going on? Oh, my goodness. You know it's going to be like 85 degrees here? That's messed up. I looked at where my in-laws live, and they live in the Inland Empire, and it's colder there. I'm, what is happening? What is going on? Oh, my goodness. Well, we are in the middle of a series where we are looking at the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story, but specifically, we're looking at specific people in the Christmas story. Last week, we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, and this week, we're going to look at someone who is very popular. Her name is Mary. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a specific time in Mary's life where she has just found out that she's going to be pregnant, but she hasn't yet had the child, and so she's kind of been in this space between, and we're going to see how this young girl navigates this very tough situation and how we can learn from her response to this tough situation in our own life when it comes to our own tough situations, because let's be honest, when it comes to life, life ain't easy, is it? It likes to serve us all kinds of things that aren't easy. And so the question then becomes, if life is not that easy, how do I handle it? How do I handle my own life? What does it look like when I encounter tough situations? And so we're going to begin to navigate in that and look at Mary's response within it. So before we get there, open up your Bible to Luke chapter 1. We're not going to read it just yet, but if you have it, Luke chapter 1 is where we'll be. So don't freak out. You can take your time to get there. It's okay. I'm not going to jump right in. But what I'm going to do is going to give you a bit of background on Mary in this situation. Mary is about 14 years old. 14 or so, plus or minus 1 year or so. 14. What were you doing at 14? Right? 14 years old, and she finds out that she's going to be pregnant. We've got a teen mom here on our hands. Oh, my goodness. Pregnant at 14. And notice that when you see the story of Mary, her parents are where? Nowhere to be found. So who knows where her parents are? So you have a 14-year-old girl who becomes pregnant. Now, is she married? No, but she's engaged. Oh. And who she's engaged to, that's not the dad. The dad is God? How is that going to sound when you talk to your friends? How is that going to sound when you talk to the person that you're engaged to? Hey, Joseph, I just want to let you know something. What's up? I'm pregnant. How is that possible? Who is it? Well, don't worry. It's okay. It's God. It's like, okay, come on now. This is like the perfect remedy, the perfect recipe for Jerry Springer in the ancient Near East. Like, this is not happening. What is going on, right? It's like, oh my, what in the world? A 14-year-old girl finds out that she's pregnant. She's pregnant from God. Uh-huh, right. She's gonna have to face public ridicule. She has the potential of losing her future husband. Parents aren't in sight. She's poor. She doesn't got a lot going for her, does she? When you think about the future and the future implications of this actually happening, there's all kinds of negative what ifs as you look towards the future of all the stuff that's probably not, this is a very tough situation. It's a situation in which she's probably thinking, how am I even going to make this happen? How am I even going to survive? Have you had situations where you found yourself in something and you're looking at the future and going, how am I even going to make that happen? How am I even going to survive that? What am I going to do? You see, Mary, at 14, is in a tough situation. And for many of us here this morning, we currently are in a tough situation. That there is stuff going on in our life. And as a result of that stuff, it is wearing on us. And for many of us, fear has gripped us. And what fear does is it looks to the future without hope. It looks to the future negatively. It looks to the future without God present. It looks to the future with apocalyptic kind of mindset that everything is going to be absolutely horrible. And some of us have been stuck in the space and we literally live it out day in and day out. To the moment where you're like with someone and or say, you know, it's like, honey, are you going to brush your teeth? No, I don't want to brush my teeth. You're not going to brush your teeth. What if you don't brush your teeth and you're going to get a cavity? And if you don't go to the dentist, because I know you don't like going to the dentist, then you're going to lose all your teeth. And if you lose all your teeth, then you're going to lose your job. And if you lose your job, then we're going to become homeless. And then our kids are going to hate us and never going to hang out with us. It's like, oh my goodness, that escalated quickly. What just happened? What was that? Right? For many of us, we are stuck in that mode where fear has gripped us. We look to the future and there is no hope. It's just doom and gloom. And as a result to the fear, our body instinctively responds to it. And there's two main responses. If we were walking along together on a trail, say out in the foothills, and we were to stumble across a rattlesnake right in front of us, there's two instinctive responses that we will do. We will either try to fight it, which I think that's what I would love to do. That would be the most awesome response, is when you see a rattlesnake, be like, hold on, I got it, check this out. I'm like Steve Irwin, oh yeah, and then just like grab it, right? And that's not what's gonna happen, really. My other response is I'm gonna run for my life and scream like a little girl because there's a rattlesnake and it's gonna bite me, you know? There's two responses. You're gonna fight it or you're gonna fly it. You're gonna book it out. You're out of there. I'm gone. And when it comes to fearful situations, when it comes to stuff in our life that grips us, our response will either be to fight it, to go for it and take that thing out, or to run. And so for some of us, when it comes to fighting it, that you have this fear and you're fighting it. And as a result of it, it's creating anxiety. It's creating stress. It's creating worry within you internally. And you're constantly like on red alert. You're constantly tense. You're constantly trying to fight and take this over because you're the man or whatever it may be, right? You're constantly trying to go at it. As a result, your immune system begins to break down and you start getting more sinus infections. You start putting on weight, you start getting heartburn, you start getting pain in your joints, you start getting headaches, you can't sleep, your blood pressure goes up, and your doctor's like, you ain't doing good, buddy. And you start looking at all this stuff, and it's your body giving you massive warning signs saying, you can't live like that 24/7. You can't live like that. You're going to kill yourself if you keep going that route. And that's what it does, is fear grips us and anxiety begins to build up. And many of us, I know what it's like. I might as well just have a fat mirror right here this morning, because this is me. This is me. As I'm constantly trying to fight and battle it myself, and as a result of trying to fight it, I create this anxiety that is within me. And it's like it's ripping me apart. If you look at the definition of anxiety, it gives an image of a bunch of horses around you. And those horses have ropes attached to you. And the horses go off like that, and they all separate. That anxiety literally rips you apart. That's what happens when we are constantly on red alert, going, 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 going. And tough situations and stressful situations, which happen for many of us, we want to fight it. And as a result, we are not well. We're sick. We're irritable. People walk on eggshells around us because it's like we have a migraine of the soul, where we're so incredibly sensitive to anything that we're just one more thing, we blow up. To where people around us are like, there he is, he's coming in. You come storming in, you're grumpy, you're irritable, you got this, you're just not well. And then on the flip side, for some of us, when it comes to tough situations, our response is to run. And how do we run? We run through numbing it. Alcoholism increases. You pick up something, video games, your phone, you start shopping a lot. You try to do something to numb the reality that exists there. You're running from it. You're hiding from it. You're not actually dealing with the stress and the anxiety and the stuff that is there. And so you spend countless hours on Amazon buying worthless junk. Thinking, yeah, I need that. No, you don't. Oh, click, 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 click. I'll just send it to Kohl's. It'll be fine. I'll just return it again and do it all over again, right? There's these things that we do. And it increases. It increases. And as a result, we are not well. But Mary here, who has every reason to run away, to go off and do something else, or to fight the situation and try to figure it out on her own and try to strategize and plan. She has every reason, it seems like, to do that, because her situation is not looking very good. But she doesn't. She doesn't fight it. She doesn't flight it. She doesn't leave. Rather, she responds with faith. You can fight it. You can fight or flight, or faith. And what faith is trusting God in the present moment. It's trusting him with our present circumstance. It's trusting him that in this present circumstance that I have right now, and it may not look good, but I'm just going to trust you because I know who you are. And so what we're going to begin to see here in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 47, is Mary's response to her present reality. And what we'll notice is that instead of trying to fight it, instead of trying to run from it, her response is faith. Her response is to trust. And as a result, she encounters joy. Joy, even when her present circumstance doesn't change at all. And my hope and prayer is that every single one of us who are wrestling currently, or will wrestle with something that's tough and not easy, is that you will be able to encounter God's joy even if your circumstances don't change at all, so that you can just breathe and take that next step forward with him. Sound good? This is what we're going to look at. You ready for it? Can you handle it? Are you freaking out already? Are you stressed out? Worried? What's he going to say? No, I'm kidding. Okay, here we go. First thing that she does is she looks up. She looks up. She says this in verse 47. She says, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. She recognizes first off that he is Lord, that as she begins to look up towards God, she begins to fix her eyes on the reality that he is in control. That's what Lord means, control. Now I want you Lord of my life, which means I want you in control of my life. He's in control. And the uncontrollable things in our life, which cause us to often have fear because we want to grip onto it and hold on to it, like our future finances, our future family situation, our future whatever it might be, our future job. We have all these things that we could be freaking out about because we can't control it, but we have to recognize that we're not in control, but he is in control. And so here Mary is saying, okay, God, you're in control. And not only are you in control, but you're personal. You're my rescuer. You're my savior. She's positioning herself not to look forward first to her situation. She's positioning herself to look upward. Why? Because he's in control. And on top of that, he's our rescue. Moving on. She says this in verse 48, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So not only is God in control, not only is he our rescue personally, but he sees you. He knows you. He knows your situation. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you got going on in your life. He sees you. He knows you. And on top of that, he desires to bless you. Notice how she looks forward to the future and she sees blessing. How? In the great wide world of sports, is that even possible with her current situation, right? How is that even possible that you can look towards the future and see blessing? You are 14 and pregnant. You're not just pregnant, you're pregnant with God. Are you serious? It's like, don't mess up, Mary. Got one chance. Don't mess up. Don't lose them. Take care of them, right? That's frightening. That is absolutely frightening. And she's looking towards the future and sees blessing. And that's because when we have a relationship with God, blessing and hard circumstances aren't opposite. Often what we begin to find is that in the hard situations, in the tough stuff of life, in those moments where we could freak out, we recognize that God is blessing us. So much so that when we come out of it with him and we look back, we could see, oh my goodness, God, you were there. You were with me. That for some of us, we wouldn't wish some of these situations that we've had to endure. We wouldn't wish it upon anyone else at all. But what we would say is saying, because of that, I have felt God's love like never before. That because of that, I have experienced God's healing like never before. That because of that situation, I now trust him that much more because he brought me to it and now he led me through it. And I know that he's with me even in the tough stuff, that he didn't abandon me. As a result, there is blessing in the tragedy. And many of us know what that's like, right? Many of us know that there's blessing within the tragedy. Many of us know that there is blessing so that when we look to the future in our hard situations, it's not hopeless, that we know that God is still there and he longs to bless us even if our situation absolutely sucks. We know that God is there and he will create beauty out of it. I don't know how he'll do it in your situation. I don't know what he's going to do or in which way he's going to make it happen. But what I do know from my own is that he's there. And he longs to bless us. So Mary, looking up, recognizes that God is in control. Recognizes that he sees her. That he's there to rescue her. That he is there to bless her. And then he says this. And then she says this. She says, for the mighty one is holy. And he has done great things for me. Which means he's set apart. Holy means set apart. There is nothing like him. He is completely other than all of creation. In other words, don't look towards other things, but look towards the one who is like none other. He is holy. And he desires to do great things. And so in the midst of her situation, this is what she does, is she postures herself to look up. And as she looks up, she reminds herself of who he is. Not just who he is, but who he is in relationship to her. Clearing her mind of all the other shenanigans that could easily come in and cloud her focus. She looks up and begins to see him for who he is. And the same goes for us when worry and anxiety and stress and fear grip us. Let's look up and recognize who is actually in control of who is actually our rescue, our Savior. And may we know that he sees us, that he desires to bless us, that he is unlike anything other, and greater things are in store for your future, for my future with him. Greater things are ahead of us, so that when we look to the future of our situation, we are not fearful, looking at it with like, oh no, this is just gonna be the worst possible situation ever. Rather, when we look to the future, we have hope. We have hope. And in the midst of that hope, we are sustained with him in our circumstances. You see, trust is seeing who God is and then looking at the future and seeing that God is there. Oftentimes we look to the future and we don't see God there at all, but trust is saying, God, I know you're gonna be there with me because you're here with me right now. And that's what happens when we look up. If you and I were to go walking late at night, which is never gonna happen, but if you and I were to actually do that, well, maybe we'll, who knows? But if you and I were walking late at night and we see the stars, right? And there's all these stars. And I was gonna let's look at the stars. And we're walking, let's just look up. Do you think we're gonna look up and keep walking? Probably not, because we'll probably hit something and that would be really funny, but really bad at the same time, right? What we're gonna do is when we look up, we do what? We stop. Often what happens when we begin to fix our eyes first on God and we begin to look up, maybe actually physically look up, even though he's all around us, right? We actually physically look up, we begin to stop. And when we begin to stop, what happens is as we look up, we begin to also look in and realize, oh my goodness, I have been going and going and going for quite some time. When was the last time that I stopped and was just present, not doing one thing after the other? When was the last time that I stopped and just paid attention to you? You see, what happens when we begin to look up is God begins to give us eyes to look in, to see what's happening within us, to see what's going on within us, so that we stop doing stuff and we recognize that we are not human doings, but human beings. We stop tricking ourselves that our worth and our value is based upon what we can produce. And we recognize that we are already valued by him. And so as we stand in that place or sit in that place and look up, we can simply be and breathe again and feel again. And hear again. It's amazing what we can hear when we shut up. Right? God's talking to you. And he loves you. And he wants you to know that. But if we keep doing stuff, we ain't gonna hear it or see it or feel it or recognize it. But when we look up first, it stops us to see within. And as a result, is we recognize that he is here. When you show up, he's already there. And he's saying, aha, there you are. Now let's talk. And when we recognize his divine presence, when we recognize that he is there, that he is not just there, but he is within us, when we recognize that, you want to know where fear goes? Bye-bye. It's gone. Because why? Because perfect love pushes it out. John talks about it. He says this, such love has no fear because perfect love expels what? All fear. What is perfect love? It's God. He pushes the fear out. You know, when fear comes near, it's like God is far. But when God is near, when we recognize that he is already here, the fear just begins to go away as the light expels the darkness. that could so easily loom around us. Friends, if you are worried, if you are anxious, if you are just freaking out, look up and stop and breathe and encounter the divine, encounter God, encounter him in the now, in the moment. And as you do, you will begin to see him move in and through you, expelling out the fear to recognize that he's got you and it's okay. It's okay. Trust him. Trust him. And trust increases as we look up, and it increases even more as we look back. And that's what Mary does here. She looks back. She says this in verse 50. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Now what she's doing here is she's quoting Hebrew scripture, which means she has some awareness of who God is based upon what she reads, right? Which actually helps us when it comes to understanding who God is. So reading scripture is important when it comes to our relationship with God and understanding how he works and who he is. And what she does here is she looks back. She begins to see, okay, God, you're merciful. You are strong. You are just. You provide. You are a helper. And you are faithful. She's looking at his attributes for what he has done in the past. And when we look back in our past and begin to see God's movement in our life, it gives us the capacity to trust him that much more in the present and the future, knowing that he's never going to leave us because he's always been with us. And that's honestly one of the biggest fears when it comes to our life, is the fear of abandonment. Am I going to be left alone? What happens in the future? Am I going to be abandoned? No, you are not. Why? Because he is already here and he will never leave you or forsake you. Well, what if I do that one thing? Or what if I really blow it? There is nothing on this earth. There is nothing in the cosmos that can separate you from the love of God. Believe it, because it's true. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you can do that separates the love of God from you. Nothing. You want to know why? Because he is already taking care of everything that could possibly separate you from him. It's been finished. It's done. Victory is here. And you just get to walk in that victory every single day with all your dumb decisions that you're going to make. It's fine. We're going to make stupid decisions. Let's just get real, right? We're going to make some real bad ones, some decent ones, and maybe some good ones. And we'll get some wins here and there, right? But for the most part, we're probably going to make some pretty bad decisions. And that's okay. It happens. We fail forward, guys. That's how it works in life, right? We learn from our mistakes and realize, oh my goodness, God, you're already there. You're already in control. You've got me. Okay, you are merciful. You are just. You are good. You are faithful. All right, as I look back and recognize that you were with me then, you're going to be with me now, and you're going to be with me in the future. Don't be afraid. He's with you. Stop. Look up and recognize he's in control. He's in control. We are not. He is. Now surrender that idea of control and trust him with your kids. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your job. Trust him with your future. And watch as you invite him in. As you look up, look in, look back, we're able to take that next step forward ahead of us. Not apart from him, but present with him. As he sustains us and gives us the capacity to be present even if our circumstances don't change. And often yet, sometimes that's what we want, huh? We're praying, God, would you change my circumstance? Would you change my circumstance? If my circumstance would just change a little bit, it might be a little bit better. But I'm going to be honest with you, your circumstance might not change, but you need to be better, right? Circumstance might not change, but you need to be better. So how do we become better? Well, you don't become better by doing, you become better by being. And the beauty in all of this is that our circumstances don't have to change in order for us to be better. You see, you look at Mary, and this is what happens here in verse 56. It says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. She walked 100 miles to go see Elizabeth, stayed for about 3 months, and then went home. Her circumstance didn't change. Everything stayed the same, but she changed. And that's the difference. Your circumstance may not change, but you will change. And you'll see it as God continues to move in and through you, as he continues to create within you who you are supposed to be. And what you'll recognize is that with him, he gives us the capacity to withstand the present troubles by giving us this thing called joy. And joy is there, is present, even when our present circumstances around us are saying otherwise. We are able to live and breathe and feel and see and walk forward and love and care because the presence of God is within us, pushing out the fear and saturating with his unending love. That, my friends, is what joy looks like. And my hope and prayer is that for every single one of us, when it comes to our tough situations, that we would choose faith and trust God with it, and recognize who he is, and remind ourselves of what he has done, and then take that next step forward with him into the future. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for how you move and work in our life, that there are moments in our lives where we are having sleepless nights, that we are freaking out, that we are anxious, we are worried, we are what-ifing everything. And the future doesn't look very bright. It's filled with doom and gloom and stuff. It's often empty and void of your presence. But right now, here we are. Despite what we may think about our future, despite our future telling us what it may look like, we are here right now. And may we recognize in this moment that you are with us too. And so may we invite you in. And as we do, may you expel the fear and give us a peace that goes beyond our human understanding. Sustain us in the present moment. Allow us to breathe again, to feel again, to see and hear again. Remind us of your control. Remind us of your rescue. Remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your mercy. Remind us of your grace. Remind us of your forgiveness. Remind us that there is nothing on this entire planet, cosmos, that can separate us from your love. And may we accept that gift and receive it and be moved in light of it, so that as we leave here today, our circumstances may not have changed, but we are. We leave here free, free to love others as you have loved us. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. In your name, we all said, amen.